You're listening to the Boldfaced Truth Podcast with Amy Green Smith, episode 472. You can find information on anything referenced in this week's episode at amygreensmith.com/EP472. Oh, well, hey there. Check you out listening to self-help pods and working on yourself.
Fuck yeah.
Quick question. You know those situations where your boss asks you to take on one more thing, or your partner asks what's bothering you, and you respond with a bold-faced lie?
Oops.
What would shift for you if you actually started telling the bold-faced truth?
Everything.
Listen, if you struggle with people-pleasing, perfectionism, and you could use some help with boundaries or speaking up, you are in the right place.
Thank God.
I am Amy Green Smith. I'm a certified and credentialed life coach, hypnotherapist, and keynote speaker.
Fancy.
And I have been working in the personal development space since the mid-2000s.
Vintage.
Sometimes I'll be solo, other times you'll hear from smart folks offering you easy to implement tools to help you tell the bold-faced truth.
Yes!
Hey, hey, pod people, Amy here. And today we are going to be continuing our mini series around aging and midlife. You know that we like to do a handful of episodes focusing around one particular topic. So last week we kicked that off with the incredible Jennifer Arthurton from Old Chicks No Shit. And she shared sort of her transformation journey of dealing with divorce and illness and job loss and all sorts of things all at one time. And how she has created a really thriving midlife chapter for herself. So please be sure to check out that episode. Next week, we are going to have the incredible Dana Lavoie. Isn't that the most amazing last name? She is a menopause and hormone expert. So she's going to be sharing with us her keys to healthy aging. Hello. Yes. Yes, please sign me up. But what I wanted to do this week, I wanted to have a really candid conversation with my very best friend who is also in her 40s, because we tend to have these conversations all the time, just the two of us. And I thought, you know what? So many of my clients and my students and my listeners are in their 40s, are going through a lot of the same types of changes that we are. And how cool would that be to just know that you're not alone? Because we don't really see a lot of our age group lifted up and demonstrated and applauded in our culture, right? Like, you would not believe how fucking difficult it is to find a good stock photo of a real life, realistic middle-aged woman. If you type middle-aged woman into a stock photo site, you mostly get people in their 90s. And there's sort of this erasure of this particular age group. Now, as a precursor, before I let you listen to this episode, I wanted to just mention that we are both speaking to this topic from the most unbelievable level of privilege. And I want to be very, very clear that having this conversation, by no means are we saying, woe is me, I'm in my 40s, this is the worst possible thing that could ever happen. Both she and I are very clear that there are so many other issues and egregious things that need tackling and discussion, and we like to talk about those things as well. But we both have felt like there's a little bit of a miss here in people just genuinely being candid about what it feels like to be in this particular season of life. So I'm going to give Andrea a call. She is also a life coach. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. I'm going to dial her up. We're not going to be dialing an expert this week. We're going to be dialing a non-expert. Usually I have people on here who are an authority on that particular topic. But Andrea and I are living through it in real time, and we want to talk about sort of what we've experienced personally, really just to shine the light for everybody else to know you are not alone. You are not alone. So let me tell you a little bit about Andrea. Not only is she my very best friend, but she is also an author, a global keynote speaker, and professional certified life coach. And we actually met each other while we were assisting for our coaching alma mater. She was pregnant with her second child, who is now 13, so it's been a minute. But her focus is around helping high-achieving women maximize unshakable confidence and master resilience. This woman and her resilience is out of this world. She is also the proud author of 3 books, including the newly updated and expanded How to Stop Feeling Like Shit, 14 Habits That Are Holding You Back from Happiness. And that is on pre-sale right now. She expanded every single chapter. So it's not just like a, hey, we're relaunching it. No, everything's been addressed. She'll talk about that a little bit in this episode. I mean, if I'm able to get a hold of her, I'm going to give her a ring. And then it will be fully on sale December 27th. She is also a certified professional coactive coach, like myself. And I love this. She's a certified Daring Way facilitator, a modality based on the research of Dr. Brené Brown, or as I like to say, Our Lady Brené of House Brown. So I am going to give Andrea a ring and let's just have a chat about what the hell is going on at this season of life.
This is Andrea. How can I help you?
Stupid.
I'm going to start over?
No.
Okay.
It's me.
Sometimes I actually answer my cell phone, though. This is Andrea. When I know it's like a doctor's office calling or something, so they don't have to ask for me,
which I think is weird. Do people not know that when they're calling a cell phone? Do people still have landlines?
No, like a doctor's office or something will call and they'll be like, hi, may I please speak with Andrea? And I'm like, you literally just called my cell. Do you think somebody else answered?
Right. Like, do they think they're calling a work line or something?
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes
I just answer it to like eliminate that having extra sentence.
Yeah. Because I mean, we cannot have any wasted time with you.
Any extra just pains me.
Yes. Okay. So let me tell you why I'm calling. You already know, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay.
I've been over here hanging out with the audience and we've been talking about the wonderful topic of aging.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
Well, that shit sucks.
It's my favorite thing to complain about, I should say.
Well, and that's why I wanted to call you up, because you and I talk about aging almost every day, definitely every single week. And it feels like there's something new afoot.
I mean, anecdotally, we don't like dive into deep, long conversations every day.
But we talk about something related to our bladders or our cycles or our gray hair. Yes, ailments.
Afflictions.
Ailments. The afflictions of middle age. Maybe that's what I'll title this episode. The afflictions of middle age. So I also have noticed that a lot of the clients and students that I work with are in their mid to late 40s. And it's a unique place to be grappling with body changes, diet culture, feminism, how it all intersects with personal development that, you know, that I'm working through with them. And I know you have a similar situation. So my goal with this was kind of to peel back the curtain and just show sort of the reality of what that's like from sort of two best friends who happen to be amazing life coaches, but who are human. I'm hoping you have a little bit of time to dig into this.
Yeah, I've been talking about it a lot on various podcasts, and I wonder if it's because no one else really wants to talk about it. Also, because A, I'm not an expert on this at all. B, like for the record, I'm 47. You're 44.
Damn you. I'm 44 in May, but I have been saying 44. I've done that for like decades where I'm just like, I prepare for the next age I am.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a joke Amy and I have, because I keep saying that she's 44. She's like, I'm 43. Yelling it. I realize that I am not an elderly person, you know, and a lot of times we're joking about being old. Like, I know this is middle age, but I think that the conversation I've been having a lot is that this place that I'm in personally, and I feel like you are too, is I talked about it on social media and I called it the weird in between, where I see people, whether they're influencers that I follow or celebrities like Jamie Lee Curtis and I mean, I can't think of anyone else right now. Even like Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, like these older women who are well into their 60s and 70s, who have truly embraced aging.
Yes.
Whether they have decided to get plastic surgery or not, but they really just are the epitome of, I truly don't care what anyone thinks of me. I am standing in my own, this like true truly empowered women. And I admire that so much. And like, I can't wait to get all the way over there.
Yes.
But I'm in this like in between where it's like, I'm not the person that I was in like my 20s and early 30s where I cared a lot about my body and like, you know, the male gaze and all of that stuff. I feel like I'm straddling. I've got one foot in each place and I kind of bounce back and forth depending on how I feel every day, depending on which way the wind is blowing. And it's an awkward place to be because I feel like I don't belong in either spot.
That's so interesting that you brought this up. First of all, I blame you for feeling older than I am, by the way.
Because I'm older than you?
Because you, Courtney, is 10 years older than me, one of our friends. Yeah. My husband is 8 years older than me. So I feel like I'm older by proxy, just by association. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been grandmothered in a little bit sooner than is
good pun.
Fair. But I came across this article and this gal was talking about middle age. And she says, I thought I would reach a magical age when I had no fucks left to give, but no one had warned me but that before I hit that magical age, I have to survive my 40s.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about.
I relate to that. And it's also, you know, you were talking about your audience and this age that we're in and maybe contending with some body changes and trying to push against diet culture and just learning about that, what most of us grew up in, especially millennials, Gen Xers, baby boomers. But also this, I have such brain fog. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
That's so perfect.
Oh, I remember.
Yay, and we're
the
back.
Sandwich generation of, you know, mm-hmm. many people have older parents who sometimes need care and also our parents themselves. So it's, you're straddling also being this caregiver and struggling to truly putting yourself last. And it's just this awkward place to be because self-care, what we've come to know as self-care, like exercising is harder.
Right. Right.
Physically harder.
Physically harder and the
recovery and all of that.
Well, maybe we should talk about this because I think this is an element of grief that you legitimately go through in your 40s as opposed to really settling into your 50s where you are starting to be like, getting pretty close to getting out of fucks to give, right? And right now I'm like, oh,
I'm running out.
I've got a handful though. I got a handful and I'm holding on to those fucks for dear life. So there's a lot of grief, I think, that's involved with that. And there are times when you and I have both said, like, what is this body?
Yeah.
And what is this fucking body? And we're not even necessarily talking about weight gain. We're talking about stuff like that of, holy shit, I need so much more sleep. Or, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I've lost my train of thought 5 times on a podcast.
Right.
Or
I don't have the stamina to work as long of days as I used to.
Yes. So talk to me a little bit about like what have been some of those kind of grief-filled, surprising, like, oh shit, this is a thing now moments for you.
I remember my mom talking about this when I was my age and quite younger. She must have been in her 40s and saying, I don't feel this age, you know, mm-hmm. and it would surprise her. She would talk about how it was surprising to her that she couldn't do certain things. My mom was an avid tennis player in her 30s and 40s and, you know, that she couldn't get to a ball as fast as she used to be able to and run up hills. She was a runner too. She's like, I feel like I'm in my 20s. And now I understand what she was talking about because I am mm-hmm. the same. Like it surprises me. Like I see young women in their 20s having a really great time. And it's weird to me that I'm not that age.
Yes.
Like, I am old enough to be these women's mother.
Yes.
Like if I rolled up, they'd be like, hey mom.
Right. Ew.
I'm like, wait,
mom.
I'm not one of you. It's so cliche and people might be rolling their eyes and like, okay, boomer, but wait till you get here. Wait till you get here. Cause I used to roll my eyes at my mom. I'm like, mom, you're yeah, that's cute.
I was really surprised by that too. And I think there's an added element where I don't have a lot of levity of children around me or uh-huh. younger pop culture. You know, I don't None of my friends here have children. I'm in Charlotte. I'm about 2 hours from Andrea. So when I'm around your kids, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I'm fucking older than I thought. And but out here, I'm just hanging out with other, you know, 40-somethings, 50-somethings, sometimes 60s. And so I don't have this like, oh, here's what's happening in the schools these days. And here's what's an issue with social media and children. So that mental shift, I remember I had a very pivotal moment because Mr. Smith and I don't have children and never wanted to, where I went, holy shit, I'm the parent's age.
Yeah.
I'm the parent's age. Because I thought, okay, I understand when you say like your knees start to hurt more, or, you know, you're not as fast, or you can't drink as much as you used to, whatever, whatever. But I thought you also mentally felt like that doesn't matter. I felt like you were just a different human mentally, like way older in your mind. And I don't feel that way at all, really.
I thought that it would, you just kind of contend with those things as they come a lot easier. Like you just kind of roll with the punches. Brené Brown calls this ambiguous grief, and it's not at all like losing someone to death and, you know, like these sort of obvious ways of grief, but she calls it, you know, feeling lost, where you have to reorient yourself to a place that you have never been before. She also talks about, you know, if you're a parent and your children leave for college or just sort of leave the nest, and you have to reorient your identity and your life to having this person gone that lived with you for so long. They're not dead, like they're healthy and living their life, and it's what you want. But it's this reorienting of yourself. And I feel like I'm constantly doing that with every year that passes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I felt that as I was getting older when I was younger.
Yes.
This feels different. This reorientation in middle age feels different. And I think it's also because when I was younger, I didn't think about retirement. I didn't think about like my parents getting older and like worrying about them. And I know that it's different for everyone. And some people very much have different circumstances where they do have to worry about such things. But I think for many of us, it's just you get to the, you know, mid 40s and you're seeing things like drastically change in the mirror. I feel like the pandemic really aged me too, because I look back at pictures of when I'm 40 and I'm like, who is that child?
Yes.
47 now. I'm like, dang.
Yeah, I feel like that looking back at my 40-year-old birthday party when I was like, wow. And something that one of our friends, Courtney, that I mentioned earlier, who she and I do a coach trade where she coaches me, I coach her. She told me recently, she said, just to really enjoy your neck.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit. And that's one of the other things that gives me a sense of anxiety is, at least physically, it's going to get worse. You're going to have more ailments. You're going to have more wrinkles. You're going to have more things that you have to contend with physically. And that really scares the shit out of me. I mean, I've had knee issues since my 30s, my early 30s. And I'm like, my knees can't take much more. Like, oh my God, what? My face is already falling down. What's going to happen?
Mine's falling off. Mine is falling off. Sometimes my neck in certain positions, it looks like a vagina. And I'm like, what? 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 That is obscene. That is pornography.
That's explicit content.
Children, beware. 18 plus only.
That's flagged on Instagram. Neck.
Well, and I want to pause for a second, because I wonder if there's people listening who are like, this is the most trite conversation I've ever heard in my life. And sometimes I say that to myself. I'm like, Andrea, you are being ridiculous. There are way bigger things to worry about. There are better conversations to be had. But I've always been the person who's like, can we talk about the thing that people are uncomfortable about talking about? And that might very well be trite. But I also want to say, when you live in a culture and you grow up in a culture that values youth and beauty as much as our culture does, and when youth and beauty are currency, when that starts to slip through your fingers, I personally experienced that almost like someone was taking one of those big erasers and just kind of like erasing who I was. It feels like you just don't matter anymore and that your relevance is starting to go away, especially as a woman.
100%. And then it is exacerbated if you're part of any type of marginalized community, right? Like if you're also in a disabled body or a queer body, et cetera. And I'm glad that you mentioned that too, about it being a trite conversation, because I think these are those types of things that we say to ourselves as women, don't even bring that up, or that pain doesn't really matter. Don't talk about it.
You should be grateful to be this age because not everyone is gifted that.
Exactly.
That's true.
That is absolutely true. It's a yes and.
It's all true.
It's all true. And we can carry all of those things simultaneously. We can understand that there are massive issues that are at play in our world that we need to make headway on and care deeply about those things and reckon with the fact that buying clothes at this age or looking in the mirror is also creating an impact on our own identity and our relevance. And I think that's something that I didn't anticipate as much as I do, or as much as I experience, is that erasure of just not being seen at all. I know that there's a huge amount of privilege that goes along with being seen to begin with. I totally hear that. And I also think it's another yes, and it's a way in which we have to reckon with, okay, now who am I going to define myself as in this chapter of my life? Now that I don't have that, or in spite of a culture that doesn't applaud female aging, now how do I make sure that I'm okay? And there's a real grief and a reckoning, and then sort of a reclamation of who you are, I think. And I'm not there yet. I'm still totally in the grief.
Yeah, I feel like I'm stumbling my way through all of that. And I kind of vacillate back and forth, where I feel closer some days to being on the other side. And then other days I have moments of panic. And I'm experiencing some freedom of not caring as much about the male gaze, and also not getting the really unwanted attention that I used to get on the regular. And that's also a weird feeling. I can't remember. I'm sure I probably told you this story, but speaking of our friend Courtney, I was traveling over the summer and I was in Boulder, Colorado, and I was staying at this kind of like a business center place where this hotel was, and they were doing a lot of construction. And I was on a walk and I was leaving her a message. And I said in my message, I'm about to walk by a construction zone and there's like a dozen construction guys over here. Let's see if I get catcalled. Nobody even looked over. I came back to the message. I was like, nope. And then I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. But most of me was relieved, honestly, right, like in those types of situations. So it's like there's all these circumstances, I think, that we sort of dance through. And I just want to say it's okay to acknowledge if you feel a little bit sad that zero construction workers like made obscene hand gestures at you.
Right.
It's an awkward place to be. Again, I keep coming back to that. It's this weird, awkward dance.
I was talking about this with the guest we had on last week.
The real expert,
my pal Jen. And we were talking about this concept because what we're talking about is fucking oppression. And we're talking about grieving the fact that we're not being oppressed the way we once were in our 20s. And that is a total gaslighting thing. It's like, wait, I'm missing being oppressed by men the way that I was in my 20s. And so when I think about that from a feminist or a liberation standpoint, I can absolutely understand, like, that's ridiculous. You don't want that. But there's also this piece of validation that you received in some way as a youth that you now don't have, that absolutely affects your identity.
It goes back to that holding currency.
Absolutely. You're like, oh, shit, I'm beauty poor now.
I'm youth and beauty poor.
But I also think one of the things that's been really, really helpful for me is you and I just being so candid and open about it. Like, I developed bladder issues before you. Yeah, again, did. Premature. But that's one of those things that's like comes out of nowhere where you're like, oh shit, now I've got a pee issue.
Yeah, I've got this affliction.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about what do you think has been the hardest part of getting older for you?
I don't know if I could rank it. I don't know if we've talked about this. Like I will have a moment of feeling cheated. I think especially because of the pandemic, like I feel cheated of these last few years because I turned 45 a month after the pandemic hit us. All of a sudden, I'm like, where have the last 2 years gone? I feel like we were so focused on just
surviving,
doing the best that we could and doing the bare minimum. And everybody's mental health was struggling. And, you know, some people lost their lives because of this pandemic. And it's just like, you know, on and on and on about how difficult the last couple of years have gone by. And as now I round the corner towards 50, I have moments of panic where I'm like, oh shit, I totally thought that I was going to be in a different place professionally and many ways personally. And I'm not, like, I don't know about you, but when I was in my 20s, I never really thought about where I would be in my 40s. I just didn't think that far ahead. You probably did.
No, I don't think I did.
And so I don't have that kind of panic, but I don't know. I just have moments where I'm like, life is passing me by, and it sounds so cliche, but it's so fast. Mm-hmm. My kids are 13 and 15 now. And when I met you, I was pregnant with my youngest, and I had a toddler. And I swear what everyone says is true. You blink. And 10 years goes by and 15 years goes by. And then I have these moments of panic where I'm like, the reality sets in that I cannot get any of that back. And I want to.
I get panicked that I don't have enough time left for the things that I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, the hardest part about getting older, more so than any attention from other people or anything like that, is just grappling with my body changing so much. And I had so much body privilege as a child where I wasn't sickly. I didn't deal with a bunch of physical ailments, never broken a bone, knock on wood. So coming into this space where I feel like, it's like when you buy a house and you think everything's fine and then you're like, shit, now this sink needs repair. And oh, well, now we need a new air conditioning. That's how I feel. I feel like it's, well, now we got a bladder issue. Well, now we're in perimenopause. Now you get brain fog. Now, there's a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, that definitely has been the hardest. But I'm curious too for you, are there things about it that you really love? That you're like, this is what I love about this age.
I love that I have gotten to a place, and this is through a lot of therapy, and this is through a lot of my own soul searching and my own healing work, is the vast amounts of self-compassion I have for the woman I once was, because I've made a lot of fucking mistakes. Like, I have made such poor choices, which always make for great stories and an upcoming memoir. But I think that we can beat ourselves up so much for these poor choices, like staying in a bad relationship or passing up on a job, or, you know, like I've always said, like, I can't stand when people say, like, live life with no regrets, and I have no regrets. Like, I have so many. It's so unreasonable. And I have so many. And I really, through trauma work and things like that, have come to have so much love and compassion and almost reverence for the young woman that I was. And the decisions that she made, because if she could have made different choices, she would have, and she just couldn't. And so that part I absolutely love. The wisdom that I have now, you know, where my kids come to me advice for some things, and I'm like, I actually know a lot.
Yes.
You're really smart. My son's 15 and he has his first girlfriend. And, you know, I've talked to him about, you know, here's the important things that as your mom, I hope that I raise you to be. And I guess what everybody says, just the wisdom that comes with being this old. Like, I think back to my 20s, and I do think that there's something to say about how ignorance is bliss. Like it truly is. Like I would hate to go back to my 20s and know now what I know, because the choices that I would have had to make would have been excruciating, and they would have been the right choices, but I don't know. Both are excruciating.
I think, yeah, definitely the wisdom for sure, I think is huge. But I also really enjoy middle-aged activities.
Like what?
Like I love knitting and cross stitching and
okay, yeah.
And bunco and stuff like going to a cigar lounge or going wine tasting or going to the theater. Like those sorts of things I was doing in my 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of funny because I was just that type of a gal. But now I really enjoy that, like, that's what you do at this age is you go to the theater and you learn a new craft, like cross-stitching and stuff. And I just fucking love that. You don't have a middle-aged craft. Oh, you fucking hate crafts. That's right.
Yeah, I don't. One of the things that is surprising to me, and this must coincide with vanity or something that has to do with being a member of like the low self-esteem club for so long, it bothers me that especially my daughter does not believe me when I tell her how cool I used to be.
It bothers me that she doesn't think I'm that cool anymore. Like,
well, she's 13.
She used to always think I was cool. And now, I brought a bunch of eyeliner where I was like, I'll show you how to do liquid eyeliner. And she was like, whatever, I already know how to do that. I have five of them.
Have you heard of YouTube?
I was like, oh my God. I don't know how to be with that.
So before we continue on, I wanted to ask a quick favor from you. Do you ever listen to the pod, and I think this might happen for you, where you think, damn, I really wish so-and-so could hear this. Maybe it's your coworker who could actually use a lesson or two on boundaries, or maybe it is a women's group that you're a part of where everyone is super on board for speaking up for themselves, but nobody really knows what that really sounds like. Okay, well, here's where you come in. I have three battle-tested and badass keynote speeches that are ready to be delivered to your company, organization, group, association. So if you, your community, or anyone you know could benefit from me rocking the mic, like who couldn't use some new tools, right? Please send them over to amygreensmith.com/speaking. Where you or they can message me directly about specific needs for the audience. Shocker, the three keynotes are focused around speaking up, contending with fear, and accessing enoughness. And all three of them can be delivered either in person or virtually, and of course can be completely customized for specific audience needs. So again, simply send them to amygreensmith.com/speaking, where they can get in touch with me, because listen, it is time that women everywhere have the tools necessary to use their voice, take up space, and advocate for their wants, needs, and opinions, like yesterday. And if you end up orchestrating an opportunity for me to speak with your group, you will officially get unlimited squeezes from me. And I'm sure you're all in now. And be sure to let them know that I can always temper my colorful language if needed. And thank you. Before we continue, I wanted to take a quick moment to thank our sponsor. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And you know, I'm a huge fan of therapy. I like to say, if you don't think that you need therapy, then you probably need therapy. Because listen, without a healthy mind, being really, truly happy and at peace can really be a challenge. But the good news is that therapy really does work. So whatever you need help with, it is time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better, okay? Because you deserve to be happy. Here's the deal. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't even have to be on camera if you don't want to. Hello, introverts. I see you out there. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. They have over 20,000 therapists in their network, which gives you way, way more options than your immediate geographical area. And it's also available for clients worldwide. Much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in less than 48 hours. So join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. In fact, a member of my family just started and totally loves it. It is always a good time to invest in yourself because you deserve it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Boldface Truth podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/boldtruth. That's BetterHelp.com/boldtruth. Or enter the code BOLDTRUTH at checkout again to save 10% off your very first month. All right, let's get back to the show.
Another thing that I fucking love about being this age is no one asks me when I'm going to have kids. It's amazing. Like that part, I fucking hated that because I got married when I was 20. And so everybody assumed that I was knocked up. I had to deal with that forever. And that is amazing that nobody asks. I really do. I really do enjoy that. That is, but then I also go, oh shit, I don't look like I'm of childbearing years anymore.
Right. It's a weird shift. I think that that's also part of this sort of line that you cross, or this marker or milepost when you get to that point where it's sort of like when you switch over from being called Miss to a ma'am. And now, you know, it's past, especially I think since, you know, what's also been interesting that we haven't talked about is, so about a year ago, I decided to just grow out my gray hair instead of covering it up, which I had done for 27 years. Mm-hmm. No longer than that, 30 years. I get so many compliments on it. It really irritates me. This is, again, one of those like truths where people are going to be like, wow, who is this lady? It irritates me that it's a trend now and that young women in their 20s are dyeing their hair silver. And I'm like, can we please just have this?
It's not for you. It's not for you. That's how I feel when I see like these like teenagers wearing like Metallica shirts.
Yeah, I'm really torn about that.
Like on one hand, it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. It's probably a lot better music than what you have. How old do I sound right now? But also it's not for you. But I totally agree with you about the gray hair. Like, just let us have this one thing.
Just let us have this thing. And I also, it is fun though. So nostalgia is an emotion. Mm-hmm. And I do think that certain people feel certain emotions more than others. And I feel nostalgia so hard. Mm-hmm. Somebody made a comment to me one time. We were at a wedding. This was at least a decade ago, if not more. And it was a handful of people that I knew from high school. One of the women said, her name's Erin. She's like, Andrea, you always have so many stories. Like, you remember everything. And I'm like, they mean so much to me. And she exactly mean it in like a nice way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was kind of like,
shut up.
Stop. Yeah. I'm like, you were there. It was so fun. But it's not at all that I feel like I peaked in high school. Like, I really don't. I think I peaked way after that. But it was so fun. And, mm-hmm. and you know, nostalgia isn't necessarily, you know, I think about, you know, when we cry when like Prince dies or, you know, mm-hmm. George Michael died. It wasn't that I knew these people. It was that I was remembering who I was when their music yeah. really, really touched me. And it was this time of not having any responsibilities very few responsibilities. And just, you know, I've had these conversations with my husband because now we have two teenagers and our son is in his first teenage relationship. And I asked my husband, I'm like, don't you remember what that was like? Like your first teenage love of just being obsessed with that person. And he had to think about it. And he's like, I totally forgot about that. And I'm like, I don't. Like,
yeah. I want to come out of this nostalgia cycle or vortex.
Okay, sorry. I'm getting those bubbles.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I want to talk a little bit about advocating for your health at this age. Do you feel like this? I do for me. And I know you've gone through like a whole battery of doctors and situations being like, what is this? And for mm-hmm. me, my doctors kept going, you're just getting old. And I'm like, it's got to be something else. So I'm just curious what the process has been like for you searching out remedies for certain things that are going on for you physically.
It's been quite the journey. I on my podcast, I have themes, and right now I'm on the women's health theme. So I've been interviewing a lot of experts and doctors. So this topic is very top of mind for me right now. And it's again, one of those both ands. Most of the time, in my experience, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, but I've talked to a lot of people. And I believe that most of the time, if you feel like something is wrong, like if your intuition is telling you that something is wrong, then something is going on. Mm-hmm. But it could be a multiple variables, not just one thing. Like it could be the cortisol levels because of the pandemic. It could be perimenopause and things are just a little bit out of whack. It could be because you're struggling with depression, maybe just a little bit. And so nothing is glaringly obvious. And then I do think sometimes it is just that we're getting older and maybe we're chronically dehydrated and we don't know, or we're not, and we need 9 hours of sleep more than the average bear, and we're just not getting it. And so it's frustrating because many times there's not this one specific test. And a lot of times the experts that we are sure can help us are very expensive, and we don't have the right insurance or any insurance, just the resources to get these answers. And I research shows too that women tend to be more dismissed, especially women in larger bodies, especially women of color. And it's so frustrating. I mean, I wish I could like just give people a pep talk and be like, keep going, but it's fucked. Like American healthcare is fucked. Mm-hmm. It makes me so mad. And it's been like 2 years now that I've been on this journey, and I'm still looking for the right answers and am not totally sure what's going on. And I'm inching my way closer, but I feel like it's going to be one of those things. They talk about this in parenting, like you feel like you get everything figured out after a certain amount of time, and then something shifts and changes, and your kids change it up on you. I worry that that's going to happen with me physically. Like I'm going to finally pay an obscene amount of money to figure out and get the right doctors and get something under control, and then something else is going to happen. Then like real menopause is going to kick in, and I don't know. I
wish real menopause. Because right now we're going through fake menopause. But I think you bring up a good point about not only being dismissed as women, but also that so much of women's health issues have not been allocated budgets or research. Mm-mm. Or, you know, I always think like if men went through this, there would be so much research and help and support available. I tell my husband every time I get my period, I'm like, imagine being sick once a month.
Yeah.
And then everybody thinks if you say anything about it, that you're just being sensitive and you're just being a pussy, or like all this awful stuff that we say to women. And I'm like, we're literally sick and we can do everything you can do, but we do it bleeding, you know, and
bleeding, and we don't die.
Right. I mean, it's pretty incredible. But Dr. Aviva Ram, who's somebody who I really love, she wrote The Adrenal Thyroid Solution. And she, in her book, talks about how, on average, new medical information that is, you know, coming on the landscape takes 17 years on average for it to trickle down to an actual doctor's office. So many of you can probably remember a time when fibromyalgia wasn't really a thing. Adrenal fatigue wasn't a thing. A lot of autoimmune issues were not a thing. And so women were just constantly dismissed. It's all in your head. Oh, it's a psychological thing. You just need therapy. And so I think my whole point in bringing this up is women are fucking magical. We have gone through so much and we are starting to see things change, thank God. And I cannot stress enough how much you have to advocate on your own behalf. So if you go to a doctor and you get dismissed, you have to find another one. Do not take that as the answer or the end all be all. I look at it now like a service provider versus this person is an authority and they know everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, have you provided the service that I am paying you for? And if no, I'm going to go elsewhere. And I think we have to look at that more through a business transaction than we do this. They are the end all be all of all education, because we're really seeing that that's failing us tremendously.
Yeah, I see my mom and perhaps her generation. My mom's actually like on the younger end of silent generation, but I do think that that generation and baby boomers especially have been taught to, you just believe your doctor and like they are the authority. You just see the one,
right?
You
know, like forever.
Whoever. And that's it. And they know everything. And I think now, and even a lot of Gen Xers, but I'm glad to know that a lot of things are changing and that there's other modalities, you know, that more Eastern medicine is being practiced and naturopathy and functional medicine doctors and things like that, where they're looking at the whole person. But from what I have been told, you know, if you go to, if a woman goes to the doctor and they just immediately prescribe an antidepressant or the birth control pill,
nope.
Need to go find another doctor.
That's right. That's right. Find somebody who specializes in functional medicine or who specializes specifically in hormone therapy or, you know, hormone issues for women. I went to see, and even then, that's not the end all be all. I went to a doctor like that who came highly recommended, and it was not helpful and not giving me the answers that I needed. So I cannot stress enough that you definitely have to take the time to mourn and be frustrated and like, oh, but then you kind of have to pick yourself back up and know that you truly deserve to find your healing. I'm curious, this is kind of a out of left field question and obviously just applies to you and I, but I'm curious what you think our responsibility is in the personal development space to talk about aging openly and honestly and or discuss beauty standards or diet culture stuff, Botox and, you know, injections or, you know, whatever. Where do you think that falls for us as people who are in kind of the expert space?
I mean, I certainly don't have all the answers and I'm navigating this in real time. I've always, and I feel like I've built a business off of being so utterly transparent about what I'm going through. Like I could not get on the microphone every week and just give everyone a pep talk about aging and talk about how well I'm embracing all of this well-earned wisdom. And that's all true, but I would be leaving out so much of the struggle as well that I'm going through. So I feel good about that. And in terms of diet culture and beauty standards, that is one of the most complicated topics I've ever tried to tackle on, because even the conversation around feminism and choice feminism is a loaded one. And I've heard so many different arguments about, you know, there's the team who will say, if we stopped purchasing makeup and all these injections and all and like hair dye and all of these things that we do, we would turn the economy on its head for one and just disrupt the patriarchy so much. And then there's also the team that pushes back and says, no, feminism is being at choice. And like, if I want to get a BBL, I should be able to do that. But then I'm like, okay, people are dying from these.
Yeah.
Injections, and especially like, didn't BBL, which is Brazilian butt lift, which I'm so glad is kind of going out of style, was killing people. And and I just think, will there just always be these trends? Yeah. I don't know. I'm certainly not the expert on it, but I am also certainly very willing to talk about it and say that I'm not the expert. Just think critically about things, I think, and have an open mind when you hear different people's takes. And yeah, I'm curious what you think, because I don't have any answers.
Well, I think one of the things that I feel very convicted to speak on consistently is the intersection between personal development and all of these social issues, whether it is diet culture, whether it's aging, whether it's racism or queer community, folks in fat bodies, and I say fat through a reclamation lens or a liberatory lens. So I do feel that it's important that when we have even conversations like this, that we're talking about it with a very clear understanding that we're talking from our own lived experience as very privileged white women, and right. that the experience for somebody aging in any other type of intersectionality is going to carry a lot more impact and a lot more health issues. So that's one thing that, or I could say, could contain health issues. So I do think that it's important for us to just be open and listening. And I definitely fall probably more on the choice feminism end of the spectrum. But there was something that Dr. Lindsay Kite, I know you've had both mm-hmm. both of them on your show as well. They're twin sisters who wrote, and doctors who wrote, a book called Beauty Redefined. And I had asked her, you know, what's your limit? You know, how do you feel about, like, she was obviously wearing a little bit of makeup. She definitely is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, first of all, I think it's weird that we have to even ask ourselves that question of what our limit mm-hmm. is. But if you're asking me personally, it is, I'm not interested in doing anything that's going to cause pain. So I'm not going to do anything that hurts, that physically hurts. And that was sort of her choice and her barometer. And I thought, wow, that's really fascinating. And then flash forward, I'm sitting in the esthetician chair having my face burned off. And I'm like, this fucking hurts. Maybe, yeah. you know? And so I wonder about that sometimes too, of, and I know you've written about this in your books, of like, am I a bad feminist if I get Botox? Mm-hmm. Like, and what does that mean about how we show up in the public eye and scrutiny and all of those things? So I agree with you. I don't think that there's a tidy answer, but I do think that the people who are the most respected and who I think you and I both strive to be is really honest about what that's like and yeah. really honest about what we're going through. One of the reasons why we wanted to have this conversation, and we'll probably have a very, very different conversation 10 years from now and 20 years mm-hmm. from now, you know? And, but I do think it's really important to acknowledge what's here right now and give it credence
yeah.
And value.
Yeah. I want to add this on to just this conversation around, you know, we live in a capitalistic society and we don't have any choice.
Right. Like,
unless I want to leave the country. And I don't, I want to stay here. And so we have to, quote unquote, in some ways play the game. And I am in a face, what I call like a face forward career mm-hmm. where my face matters. And it's, you know, and research shows there's something called the halo effect, you know, people trust you more when you are more attractive. And I will get more speaking gigs and more book deals and booked on podcasts if I am more attractive. And so I have grappled with that. And, you know, I've gotten Botox in the past and I've gotten fillers in the past. It's been a few years, so it's all gone at this point. And I would be lying if I would say like, yeah, I'm probably never going to do it again. If I could afford it, I would do it more. I don't mm-hmm. love Botox, honestly. Like, I wish that I did. I did not like the way it made my face feel. It was mm-hmm. really weird. Fillers, fucking amazing. Like, are you kidding? But then I look at people who have, and it just, there's some, you know, it's like, it's overdone and it's migrating and but then I'm like, well, in a few years, they'll have technology that's going to make it better. Like, this is the conversation I have with myself. And so I get so upset when I see on social media people shitting all over Gwen Stefani and Madonna and like what they do to their face. And it's like, fuck off, leave them alone. If yes. they want to do that, if you don't like it, it's understandable. Do they look different? Yeah, they do. Do they look terrible? Maybe that's your opinion. I can't stand it when people bash on women for, you know, you could say, what was the word I was looking for?
Like being a product of this fucking culture. Like, what right. do you fucking expect?
They're damned if they do and damned if they don't. 100%. So they're probably going to choose whichever one makes them feel better. It upsets me. Pretty bad.
That upsets me too, because, and I actually got in a big argument with, I wouldn't say, I would say a heated discussion with my mother-in-law about it, because she started doing the same thing. And I said, I think it's a dangerous fucking place when, as women, we start telling other women what they are and are not allowed to be at a specific age. Mm-hmm. I think that is fucking dangerous. And that, then she kind of went, okay, I see what you're saying. Because she's a total bleeding heart liberal feminist too. And so I was kind of like, whoa, you know, we really need to rethink that. It doesn't have to be our preference or something we would do, or it could be. It doesn't matter.
If you hate the way fillers look on Gwen Stefani, then don't get fillers yourself. It's the same thing with abortion. Then don't do it.
Don't get gay married.
If you don't like looking at her face, then just don't. It just maddens me.
Yes, I hear you. Okay, well, we could probably do this for hours on end, but
Andrea could yell about fillers forever.
But I do want to take a complete left turn, and I want you to just tell everybody about your book that's coming out. Speaking of, like,
oh,
well, this shit sucks and I don't want to feel like shit. Well, that's perfect, because take it away.
Yeah, I have a re-release. This is the first time I've ever done a re-release of a book. And it has been updated. It's not just like, it's coming out again and it's the exact same book. So How Does That Feeling Like Shit came out originally several years ago, and, you know, some big things happened. The pandemic happened and the Me Too movement and the conversation around toxic positivity. And those were the three big things I wanted to touch on in many of the chapters. And so each chapter has an addition to it. And yeah, it's on my website, just andreaowen.com/HTSFLS. There's bonuses, and I'm doing like giveaways and secret podcast series and these fun like book plates that are stickers that I'll sign your name on it. And you can, you know.
I'm so excited for you. So everybody, please go check it out, andreaowen.com. And there's a handful of other books there too that she's got, but you'll definitely want to get your hands on this re-release. Thank you so much for hanging out and chatting with
me. My pleasure. Always. I'll always do this with you and like act professional for 45 minutes.
I sent her a text like, hey, you want to talk about aging on the show? And she was like, yes, all caps. So
yeah, it's one of my favorite topics.
All right, my friend, I'll let you go and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Oh my goodness. I'm really hoping that you found that insightful and helpful. And more than anything, I just wanted you to know that navigating this, you are not losing your mind. This is definitely something that we're all going through. And science and the medical community and education has really done us dirty in not preparing us or having these types of conversations. Also, I wanted to ask a tremendous favor from you. I am in the process of solidifying representation, literary representation, finding an agent to publish a book that I've been writing and working on for a very long time. And one of the things that I really need to do to be desirable to the powers that be is to have a much more robust Instagram account. Can you please, if you don't already, take a minute, go over to Instagram and follow me. I'm under the handle Hey Amy Green Smith, and I would really, really appreciate it. I'm planning on revamping a bunch of stuff and delivering a lot of juicy content over there. So again, a like, a follow would be so incredibly appreciated. It goes a long way in the book publishing industry. So again, Hey Amy Green Smith. Next week, stay tuned. We're going to be talking to Dana Lavoie all about menopause and healthy aging. So I do so hope to see you there. So please remember, you are enough. Your voice matters. So go out there and speak your bold-faced truth. Peace. Okay, wait, just one more thing. So these podcasts, it turns out, don't actually rate and review themselves. So I would be over the moon if you would leave a review, rate the show, subscribe, and tell anyone you know who needs to start speaking the fuck up for themselves. And if you do, I will give you a mini pig. Just kidding, but I will be so very incredibly grateful. Okay, thank you. Bye.